When I was little, I had the opportunity to walk to school. Now, I called it an opportunity because I never wasted a moment to seek adventure, even if it was walking the half a mile from my house to the school where I was attending. I was probably about 7 or 8 years old, and my mom always told me, "Now, Stephen, make sure you cross at the light." Now, the problem is the light wasn't directly across from the street where I needed to cross. So I had to go all the way down to the light, cross over, come all the way back, and then make my way down the street that led directly to my school. Well, I decided, you know, it's really not that busy of a road, although it really kind of was. It was two lanes each direction, and people flew on this road. It's called Chester Pike, if it means anything in the Philadelphia area. Well, I one day was coming back from school and I skipped a light again. And as I'm running across the street, I look to my right and here comes a police car and it's kind of coming pretty quick. I thought I could beat the car, but not realizing that it was a police car, I ended up running faster and I lost my shoe. So I'm running, I lose a shoe, I run into a used car lot, which was right on the top of our street growing up. And immediately I threw my book bag underneath of a car and I ducked down and rolled under a car in the used car lot. I thought, well, I'll just wait for the police officer to go by and I'll run out, grab my shoe and put it back on and be on my way. That's not exactly what happened. In fact, the officer, I could look through the cars, through the tires and see that he was walking through the lot. He knew where I was and he kept calling, come on out, come on out. And I didn't move. I actually just stayed there underneath the car. Well, eventually he comes over and he starts looking underneath the cars and he finds me. And he says, come on out. What are you doing? I come out. I stand in front of him and in his hand is a shoe. On my foot is only one shoe. And he does what every good officer does. He asks the critical question, is this your shoe? Well, with all the ability I could muster and honesty and truth that I could deliver in that moment, I looked right at the officer and I said, nope. Well, he began to laugh. He thought it was pretty funny that I'm an 8-year-old kid standing without a shoe and he's holding my shoe. It's obviously mine. And he says, where do you live? And I said, I live right down the street. And he goes, you know what? I bet your mom has told you not to cross there and to go down to the light. And I was like, yes. He says, do me a favor. He's like, don't cross the street. It's just not safe. Go down to the light, cross the street. Here's your shoe. He's like, just get on your way. I don't want to see you do that again. And I was like, oh man, that's really great. You know, in that moment, I was always taught, especially not to lie. I denied the fact that the shoe was mine, straight out. I said, no, this isn't mine. And he's holding there saying, I think that this is your shoe. I was taught to be honest, especially to a police officer. I was taught to tell the truth. But yet in that moment, I was scared. I ran, I hid, and then I got caught in the truth. I denied the truth. And I lied, just like Simon Peter. Peter was so bold, he was so strong, yet when caught in the truth, he denied the truth and he lied. He was scared, he ran, and he hid. The person who said, even if everyone else deserts you, I will never desert you, deserted Jesus. Like the saying goes, never say never. Well, we're going to stop here and we're going to move to the start it out section of our talk sheet. If you haven't already, head over to our website, trinitynazarene.org, and you will see a button right at the top that says Trinity Anywhere. Click on that and there will be a file underneath today's video for you to utilize. It's our talk sheet, which helps to go deeper into the content of the message. We hope that you're watching this with a group of people. And if you are, just press pause here and then dialogue, discuss. And when you're ready, just come back, press play, and the video will automatically go to the next section. If you want to just continue the next section, just hold on for 5 seconds and the video will automatically begin to play. Well, I invite you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 26. Now, the interesting things about Matthew, as we look at this story that we're going to find about Peter's denial of Jesus, is that a quarter of Matthew's gospel, one-fourth of Matthew's gospel, is devoted to the final week of Jesus's life. And in fact, there's a timeline that we've been working through over the last couple of weeks. I just want to refresh your memory on that timeline. The one is that Peter saw Jesus transfigured. He went up onto the Mount Transfiguration. Jesus was transfigured right before Peter, James, and John. And that was pretty amazing. Right after that, they went through the Kidron Valley. They got into Jerusalem, what we call the triumphal entry. So Peter, they were giving a warrior's welcome, a hero's welcome, waving palm branches, Hosanna, save us. It was the cry of the people. And Jesus came riding in on a donkey. Peter, James, and John led the way for Jesus to come into the city. And then we get to the Passover meal, the traditional Seder meal that the disciples would have had. Peter and John were tasked with being servants at the meal and going out and preparing the meal and then getting to the room, putting all the things together to have the meal together. And it was at that meal that Jesus began to flip the script. Now, he told them many times that he was going to die, but now he was very serious. And he also said that there was people that were going to betray him and there were people that were going to deny him. And in fact, we pick up the story here in verse 31. I want you to pay close attention to the details of this story. On the way, Jesus told them, so this is on the way after the meal, and they were going to the Garden of Gethsemane. That would have been a familiar place where Jesus prayed often, and they were making their way. So as they're walking, Jesus says this, "Tonight, all of you will desert me." Wow. "For the scripture says, God will strike the shepherd and the sheep and the flock will scatter. But after I have been raised from the dead, I will go ahead of you to Galilee and meet you there." Peter declared in classic Peter fashion, "Even if everyone else deserts you, I will never desert you." Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, Peter, this very night before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times that you even know me." Now imagine Peter having this conversation with Jesus, hearing Jesus tell this truth about him, saying, "Hey, Peter, not only will you desert me, but you're going to be asked 3 direct questions and 3 direct times. You're going to say that you don't even know who I am." Peter's response, "No," Peter insisted, "even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you." And all the other disciples vowed the same. If you remember last week, we talked about that the spirit was willing, but the body is weak. Here is another example of Peter's spirit being just full of chutzpah, and he is ready. He's going to charge the hill. And yet, and all the disciples, they all said the same thing. "We will not desert you." And yet, we find by the end of this story that Peter will deny that he even knows who Jesus is. So after Jesus was arrested, we're going to fast forward a little bit here. He's at Caiaphas's house. Now, this is the house of the high priest. The other disciples actually ran at this point, except for Peter and John. Peter and John followed at a distance, is what the scripture tells us. But they wanted to go to the place where Jesus was going to be put on initial trial. They get to the house, and the scripture tells us that Peter is warming his hands by a fire. Now, that alone will come to play later in this series. That fact is going to be really important. Now, I want you to think about the courage. We typically focus on Peter's denial and all of the running and on all the mistakes, but there's a lot of courage that's happening in this story as well. As Peter is warming his hands by the fire, he actually would have been warming his hands in the courtyard of Caiaphas's house, and the servants and also the temple guards would have been warming themselves by the same fire. If they would have recognized Peter in that moment, they would have killed him instantly. There wouldn't have been a trial. There wouldn't have been an arrest. They would have killed him, all because at the garden, as Jesus is being arrested, Peter takes out his sword and he cuts the ear off of Malchus, who was the temple servant. So, and again, that fact is going to be very interesting here in the future telling of this story. But Peter stood there. And he actually was assuming all of the risk. He told Jesus that he wouldn't betray him. So he stood there warming his hands by the same fire as all these temple guards were around. And if they would have recognized him, he would have been killed instantly. So as Jesus is on trial inside, Peter is on trial outside. We're going to fast forward here to verse 69. Check this out. Meanwhile, Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. A servant girl came over and said to him, "You were one of those in front of everyone." Now, she must have been a part of the crowd that came to arrest Jesus. It wasn't just temple guards, and it wasn't just the religious leaders at the time, but it was also a crowd of people that they really gathered together to say, "We need to go and stop this man named Jesus." So she says, "You were one of those with Jesus, the Galilean." But Peter denied it in front of everyone. "Wow, I don't know what you're talking about," he said. Verse 71, later, out by the gate, another servant girl noticed him and said to those standing around, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." Again, Peter denied it, this time with an oath. "I don't even know the man." Now, that's just really hard to even consider that, "Peter, I'll never desert you. I'll never be the one to deny you," has now twice denied Jesus. Luke tells us that an hour passes by, and John actually tells us that Peter was by the fire when a man approached who they believed, and John says, was a relative of the one who Peter's ear he cut off in the garden, and asked, "Weren't you with the Jesus that's being tried right now?" Now, I want you to listen to how Peter responds. Verse 74 says, Peter swore, "A curse on me if I'm lying. I don't know the man." Now, that was a big deal. It wasn't just like, "I swear, I don't know him." It was, he was bringing and heaping curses upon himself if he was not telling the truth. "I don't know the man." And immediately the rooster crowed. Suddenly, Jesus's words flashed through Peter's mind. "Before the rooster crows, you will deny three times that you even know me." And he went away weeping bitterly. Here's the kicker. Luke actually tells us that Jesus, in this moment, at that third denial, Jesus looked at Peter. We tend to think that Peter was outside the courtyard and that Jesus wasn't around, that he was inside. But the reality is, Jesus heard Peter deny him, and Jesus looked at Peter. Now imagine all that Peter just went through. I mean, he defended Jesus in the garden. He followed Jesus to the courtyard. He even risked his life because he said, "I won't desert you." And in the end, fear took over, and it causes the rock to curse, swear, and deny even knowing Jesus at all. Wow, what a monumental moment for Peter. Now, I want to revisit an idea that I've shared the kind of throughout this series, because I think it's really important. The idea is this: the Gospels were written after Peter died. Now, at the point of the Gospels writings, Peter, James, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, at the point of the writing, Peter would have been one of the most infamous and famous and important and incredible apostles that the 12 had ever seen. So it would have been easy for the gospel writers just to erase the parts of Peter's history that really didn't bode well for him. But instead, they included all the details. Peter insisted that they include all the details. Now, here's my thought on that. Because I think we have to ask the question, why were his flaws recorded? I think it's because Peter insisted that the stories be remembered. I think he told the stories over and over again on purpose. And I think it's because of the grace and the love of Jesus, telling the story of who you were only strengthens who you are. I want you to really grab hold of this. Because even scripture tells us that it's the word of our testimony and the blood of Christ that destroys the enemy, that destroys Satan. How is Satan destroyed? It's by the blood of Christ and the word of our testimony. And I think Peter understood this. He understood it. It was the grace and the love of Jesus that got him to a place that telling the story of who we were only strengthens who you are. Here's the other reason. It helps us to understand and find the areas where we too have denied Jesus by our thoughts, by our words, by our actions. These are all places that I believe that we have denied Jesus, not just by what we've done, but even by what we should have done. I think Jesus multiple times speaks into us, and we either deny it's the voice of Jesus or we deny what he's telling us to do. And that is a denial in itself. We might still have a great relationship and connection with Christ, but if we deny the things that he's asking us to do, or if we deny the truth that he wants to speak into us, well, then we're deniers. So I want to stop here. We're going to move to the talk it out section. We're going to talk through the pieces of this scripture and look back at the denials that Peter had experienced. And again, just like before, if you want to continue in the message, just keep letting the video play. It'll automatically go to the next section after 5 seconds. Or if you're watching this with a group, press pause, have a conversation, dialogue. Maybe you're enjoying this content by yourself. Use the talk sheet to go deeper in a quiet time with Jesus, or reach out to someone else and say, hey, you know, what do you think about these thoughts? But we want you to go deeper into today's content. So move to the talk it out section, and then we'll be right back. Earlier, I shared that Jesus heard Peter in the courtyard. And we know that because Luke 22, verse 61 tells us, at that moment, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. I mean, think about it. This moment, Jesus is already battered. He's black and blue. His eyes are probably swollen. He's got spit all over him. And in that moment, he turns his gaze and he looks at Peter, and they lock eyes. Now, I wonder what that look was like from Jesus. I wonder if it was a look of disappointment, or maybe it was a look of, I told you so. Maybe the look was, Peter, how could you? What's interesting is looked in the scripture, especially in this reference here that Luke reminds us, is that it's a look of interest, love, and concern. Just as Peter is in one of his weakest moments, just as Peter is denying Jesus 3 times, Jesus knew that it was going to happen. Just as Peter was swearing curses upon and making oaths upon himself, Jesus looks at him with love, with concern, and with interest. Jesus caught Peter in the truth. Think about this. The result was Peter remembering the words of Jesus and weeping bitterly because he knew what he had just done. Peter left this story in to ask us this critical question today. How are we denying Jesus? Before we go any further in today's message, before we go any further in today, we have to ask ourselves the same question. How are we denying Jesus? Where are we denying Jesus's truth? Where has he caught us in the truth? Realizing that we have denied him. Have we denied his healing? Have we denied his forgiveness? Our forgiveness of ourselves and also the forgiveness of others. Have we denied Jesus the access to teach us how to forgive? Have we denied his redemption? The fact that he desires to change and transform our life, that the old life no longer defines who we are, but we can be defined by his love, his grace, and his mercy. Are we denying him that access? Are we denying his hope? There's many ways that we deny Jesus all the time. You can't hide from the gaze of Jesus. Even in the midst of our greatest denial of him, even in the midst of his greatest suffering and our greatest disappointment, He looks at us with love. He looks at us with concern. And he looks at us with great interest. You see, Jesus is concerned for you. And Jesus sees you. Just like he saw Peter. He not only saw Peter physically, but he saw him spiritually in that moment. And it was seeing Peter spiritually in that moment that caused Peter to self-reflect. He looked into his own self and he realized how awful and how wrong and how far he had fallen. So today, I think we too have to recognize that we can't escape the gaze of Jesus, that he looks at us and he sees us for who we really are, lost, broken, dependent upon him. The need for his leading in our life, realizing there are places that we've denied him access. And I want to encourage you today, not only does Jesus see you physically, but he sees you spiritually. But ultimately, he sees you with grace and with love. His eyes are filled with truth, and his eyes speak truth to us. And so I want to encourage you today to recognize the places where maybe you've denied Jesus. Where are the places that you need to allow God full access to say, I need you to see not only me, I need you to see into me. That you've recognized that you, like Peter, even in your strongest and your most powerful moments and desire to do good and to do well, you fall or have fallen flat on your face. And it's in these moments that Peter can teach us. It's in these moments that his words ring true in our hearts. And if Peter can tell us one thing, it would be don't waste another day. Don't waste another moment. Allow Jesus to see you and allow yourself to be seen by him, because Jesus wants to be in and a part of your life. You see, that's the whole point of today's message. When we're scared, when we're living in fear, we run and we hide and we try to escape. But Jesus sees us and he finds us in our greatest despair and he restores us even in our brokenness. And no matter how much strength and power that we believe that we have, it pales in comparison to actually living it out under the grace, the mercy, and the power of Christ in our lives. So stop denying him access. Stop denying his love. Stop denying his healing, his forgiveness of yourself and forgiveness of others. And simply come to him today, arms open, hearts open, and saying, Jesus, I recognize that I've denied you, but I don't want to walk away from this weeping bitterly. I want to allow you access to be able to transform my life just like you did Peter's, because that in this moment is not the end of Peter's story. You see, your denial is not the end of your story. And we're going to hear more and we're going to learn more and we're going to see more how Jesus would go through the pain of the cross and specifically find Peter and have the opportunity to restore him out of his brokenness into righteousness and wholeness. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we praise you and thank you for the power of this message, to recognize that even in Peter's greatest failures, you restored him. Lord, even when you told Peter, this is what you were going to do, Peter, and then he did it, knowing that he was trying so hard not to fulfill that awful, awful word that Jesus spoke into him, that in that moment, it reminds us that we too have denied you. Either we've denied you access, we've denied you the truth of what we're doing in our lives, we've denied you the opportunity to speak about where we're to go and what we're to do. And ultimately, Lord, it has led us to a place of discouragement, of fear, of being scared. And ultimately, we run and we hide. Lord, help us not to run and hide anymore. Help us not to be scared anymore. Help us, Lord, to recognize that you see us. You don't just see us physically, Lord, but you see us spiritually. And I thank you and I praise you for looking at us with eyes of love, eyes of comfort, eyes of interest, and that you truly, truly see who we are, good, bad, or indifferent. Lord, we want to give you access today to transform us into the person that you desire us to be. And Lord, we just thank you for these moments, and we pray this in your name. Amen. Well, each time we're together, we have the opportunity to pronounce the blessing or a benediction. And I want to encourage you, if you've spent any time with us, and hopefully you're memorizing this scripture and you can say it with me. If not, it's right here on the screen. I encourage you to say it as we go through it. And just as an act of opening ourselves to this blessing that that Jesus has for us today, I encourage you to open up your hands. And let's say this together. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen and amen. You are sent.